Hello, it is currently 1:48 on Monday, February 27th. My name is Skylar Lester, and you're tuned into KPCRadio.com. Welcome to Exposure, where we shine light on notable figures in the world of photography. Today's guest is Andre Duman, owner of the gallery in Westfield Village by the same name. Hi, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. This is really cool.
Yeah,
it's nice to have a show about photography, which is a rare thing, so I'm glad this is happening.
Me too, definitely. So I couldn't help but notice your accent. I wanted to start off by asking you, are you originally from England?
No. I was born in Romania, lived there until I was around 12 years old, and then I moved to the UK. Okay. And I did my undergrad, and I did my master's in the UK, and when I was in 2005, moved to New York, and 3 years ago I moved to LA. So I've kind of been hopping around a bit.
Okay, and what was it that brought you to LA?
I got sick of my job in New York. I was doing investment banking, and the hours were a little crazy and stressful. It was fun for very small portions and very small quantities, but. I think I just needed better weather, and my wife was done with her job, I think, and we were just, all right, let's get up and move. Let's get better sushi.
And so, investment banking, that's a pretty big leap from investment banking to photography.
Yeah, well, it kind of all interconnected. Going back just a little bit, I played tennis semi-professionally in a previous long time ago. So since a very young age, I was traveling a lot, and to get these international points, you go to, you don't go to the strong tournaments, you don't go to Spain or Germany, you go to Syria and Mexico and Brunei, just because the tournaments are easier, so it's easier to pick up points. So since a young age, I was always used to traveling on my own, and I enjoyed being on my own and learning about different cultures and different experiences. And then When that part of my life ended and I got into investment banking, I still kept traveling a lot during my vacation time. So because we had 2 weeks, we were forced to take 2 weeks out so you don't hide a trade. It allowed me to go to these far-off locations as opposed to just having a quick one-week trip.
Mm-hmm.
So travel was always a huge part of my life, and I always loved taking photos. And, with cameras, you just keep building and growing and getting new equipment. So that's the story behind that.
So given you've traveled to so many different places, what would you say is one of your most memorable trips or favorite locations?
Oh, without question, Iceland.
Iceland.
I've been very fortunate. I've traveled, not that I was counting, but I had an article that I'm doing recently, so I'm on 76 countries right now.
Wow.
And I love it. I live for it, and I haven't traveled enough. And Iceland is I'd go right now without a camera. I will just turn up and get in the car and just drive. It's for photographers, it's so diverse in terms of the location and the things that you can photograph, and it's just my favorite thing.
And can you tell our listeners a little bit about what specific type of photography you do?
Yeah, I hate to pigeonhole myself in terms of photography, because I think that's the beauty of photography, is it can be so wide and varied. But I would say I'm a travel and landscape photographer. I really enjoy going to seeing new places, and especially the more remote and extreme environments and cultures and those kind of things. So I don't necessarily go to Italy or Spain or some of that's traditional vacation. I'd rather go to Vanuatu, and I'd rather go to Madagascar and Papua New Guinea and going into seeing those tribes. So it's exotic travel and landscapes, I guess. Yeah.
And during your travels to all these different places, have you ever found yourself in a dangerous situation?
Yeah. Yes. And no. I guess yes. Both for many reasons. I mean, some of them were just political. My wife is listening. She'll get a kick out of this one. We were in Easter Island, and obviously Easter Island is a small, tiny little island, and it's governed by Chile, and they had a political unrest where there were around 30 people that were very angry at the government, and they had to send in the armed forces. So there was a little bit of that going on in the main square, and we're kind of caught in the middle of it. But we've been pretty lucky with the traveling, and me personally as well, with the traveling I've done. I haven't really been caught up in any political issues that were dangerous from that respect. The closest I came to dying was actually in Iceland when I went to specifically shoot the ice caves. Mm-hmm. And I was underneath a glacier. There was water that was rushing right underneath this whole enormous crevasse. And I had spikes on, and it was a very steep angle that I was trying to get my tripod on. And I honestly pretty much lost my footing, that I got stuck, that I couldn't actually move.
Oh my.
And if it wasn't for my guide to help me up, I would have easily just gone way under this rushing water. That would have been interesting. But yeah, so I'd say those were probably the closest. But, you know, as any environment, they're dangerous because you're on the side of a cliff or because you're in the desert. And if your car gets stuck, then you're in mm-hmm. trouble from that regard. But yeah.
Wow, that sounds pretty terrifying.
Oh, it was great. I loved it.
And I understand that you have a trip coming up very soon. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I do, yes. it might have to change for reasons that I'll explain, but I'm going to the Maldives, India, and Sri Lanka. Specifically, Maldives just to sort of relax a little bit, to be honest. And India, we're going for the Holi Festival, which is something I've wanted to photograph since I was a kid. And for people that don't know, Holi Festival is a very religious festival in India where people throw powder, multicolored powder everywhere. And, you know, this explosion of color throughout this entire crowd, I just always found it fascinating and I wanted to capture it. And I think it's going to be quite interesting to try and capture it. Because obviously, with your equipment, you don't want it to get powder inside your equipment, and all the logistics that I'm sure I'm going to be faced with. And in Sri Lanka, I mean, Sri Lanka is, again, a location I've always wanted to go. Amazing temples, and again, the culture and the food. I think it's one of those destinations that's really kind of hot right now, sort of like Cuba in a lot of ways. But I found out a few days ago that Maldives is no longer allowed to have any professional photography equipment enter the country. Wow. They've banned it. So I'm trying to figure out a way how I can take my camera with me. We might have to just switch and end up in Hong Kong for a few days. Mm-hmm. So,
but you're going to work with that, and I'm sure wherever you end up, you're going to find something spectacular to document.
Yeah, if that doesn't work, I was thinking I've always wanted to capture the dismantling of the enormous ships in Bangladesh, right on the waterfront. That's an option. Or going to Bhutan, to Tiger's Nest, because we only have 4 days. Mm-hmm. So I can't necessarily make a brand new trip out of it, but that's another option. Or just going to New Delhi and spending a bit more time, or doing Hong Kong. And I've always wanted to capture Kowloon. I've been to Hong Kong before, just not been to Kowloon. So there are options, but yeah.
And what essential camera gear do you usually take? I'm imagining that it's quite a bit, even though traveling, you try to keep it light.
I do try and keep it light, but I've always been of the opinion I'd rather break my back knowing that I have the right equipment and I can take the right shot. So mm-hmm. I don't want to ever get to a point where if I don't have the right shot, I'm blaming my equipment. So right now, I'm currently shooting on a Phase 1, a medium format camera Phase 1. I'm actually shooting for them, so I'm associated with the company, and it's an amazing company. I'm shooting on their flagship model. It's the XF IQ3. It's 100 megapixels. You know, the stats are insane on this camera. It's 100 megapixels, 16 bit of color, 15 stops of dynamic range. You know, ISO dropping down to 50, going up to 12,800, which is pretty insane for a medium format.
It's a beast.
it's huge. It's wonderful. It's solid. It's built like a tank, and the glass is just incredible. It really is. They really are leading the way in photography equipment. No doubt about it.
And how long have you been shooting on the Phase 1?
Pretty recent. We started working together at the end of last year. And as soon as I got the camera, I rushed off so I can get some of these. Get some good images for them. I went to Switzerland, Italy, France, and Austria to do a little bit of. I went to the Dolomites in Italy, as soon as I was meant to fly back to the US, the following day I was meant to go to Galapagos. I had this whole trip planned out and paid and everything. And my last day of shooting in France, I was still pretty jet lagged. It was like 2 a.m. And for the first time in my entire career, the whole camera and the lens just fell off my tripod, and it just crashed.
Oh no!
There was no one else around. It was like one of those like trees that falls in the forest and no one hears it. It was just me that just threw out this huge yelp in the middle of right by the Louvre. And I completely panicked because I was going to fly home and I had no camera for the Galapagos. So FaZe were absolutely amazing. Big shout out to Scott and the whole team there that just sent me a demo and I had something to go with. And then, yeah, went to Galapagos. So
it saved the day.
It saved the day. And yeah, it was pretty incredible.
That's awesome. And so I want to talk a little bit about your gallery, because that's definitely how I found you. And it's actually really close to the Pierce College campus, right. Only about a 10-minute drive. So can you tell me a little bit about how you opened that gallery and what made you choose that location?
Yeah, I've always wanted to own a gallery of my own work, and not for any vain reason other than just because of some of the places that I travel, I felt it was the right sort of medium to show people some of the places that I go that are not your sort of everyday traditional places. I basically started at Westfield. It's a Westfield property. And what's pretty cool about it is that this is the first gallery that they've ever had in any of their properties in their 55 years. So it was a big gamble in some ways for them. Mm-hmm. As you know, with photography galleries, they're very few and far between, given many different reasons. But I still wanted to give it a shot, and a lot of people said I'm insane, I'm crazy, I shouldn't be doing it. But we opened with the new expansion to Panga Mall, which is called The Village. So Westfield, we started from scratch with them. I had basically a floor and a ceiling, and me and my architect built everything out from scratch. And we won an award for it. We won Design of the Year, which was great, at the AREs. Very unique sort of design. I don't think there's any other gallery like it on the planet. People can go on the website and visualize it and see it, but it's basically trees that the pieces are hanging off these branches of trees. So there's no uniform way of going around the gallery. You just create your own path and walk around it and see what you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely draws you in immediately. I would encourage any listener to go check it out for sure. Mm-hmm. Not your traditional gallery space at all.
No, and that's what I wanted. I mm-hmm. specifically requested that I wanted something different. I didn't want it to be your everyday boring white block of a gallery that's mm-hmm. just, you know, sterile. I wanted it to feel like it's an experience that you're going through. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it achieved that.
I would say so. Do you have a favorite project that you've worked on?
I think all the projects that I'm working on are not necessarily my favorite, but I'm always looking forward to them because I plan them months in advance. You know, this trip that I'm about to go on now, I've been working on this for close to 6 months now. And I've got, as soon as I get back, I go to Cuba in April, and then in June I'm going to Denmark and Faroe Islands and Norway, and then later on in the year I'm going to Iceland in September. So there's always things that I'm working on. In terms of favorite projects that I recently did, I'd probably have to say my last one. I called it Project LA. What I did was, which is very different than what I've shot normally because it's not a landscape, it's not anything that I normally shoot, was I went around Los Angeles for about 3 or 4 months, and I found all these amazing murals that are painted everywhere or sprayed on or whatever the artist has done. And they're absolutely incredible. They're incredible works of art with huge colors that are just bursting everywhere. And what I really wanted to do was capture the abstract section of it. So I didn't want to photograph the entire mural. I just wanted to get a small section of it. Again, with this camera, to really show off that 16-bit of color mm-hmm. was just to show what it can really do, you know, to get the processing power for it. So I think just that burst of colors that I have and the different variety of texture and what these artists have done, I think was a really cool project to work on. You know, going in back of bars where some of these artists have graffitied on or drawn on, it was interesting. You definitely find a different underground section of Los Angeles that I didn't know before. So mm-hmm. that was a cool project. And it's ongoing. I mean, I'm constantly going to be adding to it. So it's cool.
Very cool. So it sounds like LA itself has kind of been a source of inspiration for you. What else would you say inspires your work?
I think what inspires me is really going to see something that not many people have seen before. That's what really gets me going. I love knowing that I'm going to a particular location and it's going to take me 4 or 5 days and I have to go by boat and then I have to take a four-wheel drive to get to see this one thing that probably 5,000 people have seen, and I want to capture that in the best way possible. And then I want to show it to people that have never even heard of it before. that's what's constantly inspiring to me, and that's what I'm always on the lookout for. And that's why through some of the destinations that I'm choosing, I'm trying to always try and find something that's a little bit different, something that's not your traditional photography aspect of it. You know, finding that, let's say, for example, you know, the Huli tribe in Papua New Guinea, they haven't necessarily been shot that many times. They have been shot before, but whenever I go there, I want to do something that's different. What can I do to add or capture in a different way? That's what's keeping me going.
Mm-hmm. And what effect have you noticed your work has had on people? I mean, especially if you're going to these areas that not a lot of people have had the opportunity to see, and you're able to capture it in such a beautiful way and share it with the world. I mean, do you usually get a pretty positive response to your work?
I'd like to think so. I think some people really enjoy it. I think there are some things that I've shot, again, that some photographers have shot before, and some things that maybe not that many photographers have shot before. And I think people react to them in both ways, because one, they recognize some of the locations, and others, they see something that's very different. So I think overall people have been very happy with it. As you expect with opening up a store, you are going to get some criticism, mm-hmm. mostly from other photographers, if I'm honest. You know, we get sometimes, oh, I could have taken that on my iPhone, or why would I be doing, why, you know, what camera do you use? And, you know, it comes with the territory, and mm-hmm. it's fine. My goal is to try and inspire someone to not be scared of traveling to some of the places where I necessarily go to. They're safe and they're fun, and you need to step outside of your, you know, comfort zone a little bit to really see something that's different and unique.
So what advice would you give to somebody who is looking to kind of get into travel photography and is just starting out?
That's a lot of photographers answer that very quickly with multiple different answers. And I think that's a really tough one to answer, because photography is so personal. Who am I to tell someone what to do or what they shouldn't do? I'm still learning. I'm making mistakes all the time. I think that's the beauty of what you do as a photographer. You learn through your mistakes. Me personally, I learn through all the, I go through all my images. I never delete images. So I always go through my stuff that I shot 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 1 year ago. And I see what am I doing differently? How am I progressing through that way as opposed to my best images? Mm-hmm. So I think it's tough for me to, you know, necessarily sit here and say, you should do this and you shouldn't do that. You know, if I was to say anything, I'd say, slow down. Don't take as many photos. Don't be so trigger happy. You know, really, I would say to just, depending on what you're shooting as well. Let's say we're speaking about landscape. If you see something amazing, let it sink in for a little bit. Just look around a little bit, because you might look at a particular aspect of something that you want to focus on that you might miss otherwise. So I think slowing down is really important. You know, be critical of your own work. You're not the greatest thing since sliced bread. No one is. No one is the greatest photographer. It's all about learning what makes you happy, and shoot what makes you happy. I think that's also probably the most important thing as well. Don't worry about what it's going to sell. Don't worry about what it's going to look like on Instagram or Facebook. Don't forget that. Mm-hmm. You're doing photography because you love photography. You're not doing it for anyone else. Mm-hmm. If someone else happens to like it, then that's, to me, that's the bonus aspect of it. So definitely. I'd say those are probably the two pieces of advice.
Two main things. So usually your work is travel, aerial, landscape, but I've heard that you're starting to do some studio stuff as well. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, we did. Started doing some really interesting studio work. I just wrapped up a project with an artist. I won't mention his name just yet because it's still being released. But it was again. I'm getting my inspiration from my trip that I have to India with the holy powder. So we were gonna capture him as a portrait, but also then capture the powder exploding everywhere. So we had a lot of fun in the studio. I apologize to my team for the hell that I put them through for that day and a half. But, you know, we threw this powder everywhere, and we were trying to capture it with these amazing strobes. We were using the D2s, the Profoto D2s, which were fantastic for the shoot. But it was a lot of fun to try and do something that's different. That's not, you know, if someone looks at my work, they're not going to assume that this is what I do. But this mm-hmm. is something I'm, you know, I don't like to be pigeonholed, and I was try and learn and constantly be doing something that's outside of your own comfort zone. I think that's the only time when you grow as an artist. So definitely. many more of those things to come. I've got ideas that I want to put into practice. So
awesome. And so you do have a show coming up as well.
I do, yes. That's very exciting. It's at the G2 Gallery on Abbot Kinney in Venice. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal gallery. They've been good friends of mine pretty much since I moved to LA. And I have a solo show coming up March 25th, where the three main rooms are going to be one of them is going to be my aerials, mm-hmm. Which are one of my favorite types of photography, is to do aerial photography. The other room is going to be my African animals section, and just as importantly, if not more important, is the last room, which is the Galapagos. So my recent trip to Galapagos this is the first time that I'm printing new images that I shot in the phase one. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very interesting to see the quality of my Canon work that I did before with the phase one that's 100 megapixels. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be pretty exciting.
Seeing
to
the
see.
Difference there.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned the aerial photography. With drones becoming so popular now,
yeah.
I am wondering, are you using drones or are you in a helicopter?
I don't use drones. I'd love to use drones, but again, now that I've moved on to the phase one, it's kind of hard. Moving from a Canon to a phase one is kind of like going from a really good car to kind of like a supercar. Once you do that, it's very hard to go back.
Yeah.
So if I can't, and again, because this camera is quite substantial in terms of size and weight, it's very few drones can really handle it. Mm. So I shoot out of helicopters. Door off, helicopters, hanging on one hand, I'm hanging onto the safety belt, and the other one hanging out the window. And I love that. It's one of my favorites.
Sounds exhilarating.
It was great. Or small planes. A few months back, I was in Vanuatu, and we had a small plane where it was a Cessna, and we took the back doors off, and we were just doing circles around the volcano that was just erupting. So
wow.
It was really cool to photograph that and you know, hang out. Makes you feel a little bit alive.
Definitely. I would say so. That's amazing. And other than your gallery space and then the show you have coming up, where else has your work been published, or where else has it been seen?
I had a show at the Four Seasons Hotel in Shanghai, which was kind
wow.
of fun. That was international. There was appearances at Annenberg Space of Photography, mm-hmm. had a small one at the Getty. And in publications, Shutterbug was featured, some of my
cool.
work, Business Insider, Reader's Digest, and an image on Bing.com. So it's, but again, my main focus is really, for the time being, the gallery space and really working on that, on my fine art sort of aspect of things. But, National Geographic, actually, I forgot that, they just published, in their latest book, The Greatest Landscapes. I have one of my images in their book, so that
wow.
was really cool to see in print, for sure.
Absolutely. Where was that image taken?
It was in Namibia. It was I managed to photograph the largest sand dune in the world, and
wow.
It was it's one of my favorite shots, actually. So I'm glad that they chose it, but it was cool to see.
Awesome, very cool. So, do you ever collaborate with other photographers or other artists, or are you more of a solo worker?
I guess I'm more of a solo worker. I a very good friend of mine, Wendy Hudnall, if she's listening, she's helped me with the gallery when we opened. So she was she had a section of the gallery for a period of time. So that was a collaboration. Most recently, I've had a show with Art Wolf at my gallery. So we did a whole exhibition. He had some of his images there for a month, and we had a huge opening and red carpet event. So sometimes I like to collaborate with that in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do enjoy focusing on my work, not from a self-centered perspective, but I just
mm-hmm.
I like traveling alone or with my wife, and sometimes it's hard to collaborate. I think photographers have their own breed. They don't necessarily like to mingle too much.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite photographer?
Art Wolf was one that I've loved and I've been a fan of for a very long time. Mangelson is also another one, very very big on in their animal sections. But yeah, Art Wolf was really the big one for me that inspired me to travel to the more remote sections of the planet. So, and that's why it was such a huge honor for me to be able to do that show with him.
Awesome.
That was cool.
Well, it looks like we're out of time for today, but I want to say thank you so much for joining us on Exposure, and the best of luck to you and safe travels for your upcoming trip.
No worries. Thank you.
Thank you.